You are back with Pave the Way again. Thank you guys for tuning in. This week, our theme is everything is sales. You know, Brent and I were both in the sales field before we started our businesses. But once you start a business, I don't know if you want to say you become even more of a salesman or less, but essentially it just doesn't stop.
Yes.
The sales background was very helpful in getting us to where we are now. And, you know, we're going to talk about how we kind of got into sales. But if you're a person out there that's thinking about what should I do in my life, where should I go? I'm so confused. You know, you might be in a position where you don't know where you're headed. Sales is what I would recommend. Sales can get your foot in a door, and sales also can give you skill that you can't get elsewhere. You cannot get the communication and people skills that you can from selling.
So true.
Whether that's door to door or on the phone, there's so many different types of sales. We'll get into some of that. But Brent, tell them, how did you even get into sales?
So for me, I was actually working for the city of Dallas, and I had started in the sewer department. Rob actually got me that job, did that for a short amount of time. Quickly found out I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life, and I transferred over to the water department, and then a job came up in the office where I could kind of be the boss's assistant in a sense. Rob liked to call me his secretary, and I'll take that. I guess I was his secretary. But I enjoyed it. I really did. Cause for me, I just learned early, I didn't want to do manual labor. Like I just didn't, I was not bad at it. I just didn't want to do it. So I did that job for about a year and had a lot of time in front of a computer cause I was entering invoices, doing all that stuff. And I just started doing some research. Like I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people, when you're in that 19 to 20 to 21 year old or age gap, you're always searching for a job, and I didn't have a degree. So I was trying to find something that had like earning potential, but didn't require a degree. Cause back in 2012, most places still wanted a college degree. So long story short, I got a job at a uniform company selling uniforms door to door. And it was such a hard sales job. They didn't require you have a degree because nobody would really do it essentially because they trained you for a couple of weeks and then you just literally had an iPad, had a schedule, and you started knocking business doors and asking, can I sell you uniforms? But they paid a really good salary. So that's really why I got into sales, because it gave me the earning potential without having that degree.
Absolutely. And the earning potential, when you get into sales, man, you control your own destiny.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's why I loved it.
No matter what it is, like uniforms, insurance, real estate, whatever, that's the stuff we sell. But it's like, no matter what you get into, you are in control of your future. Like if you're in the right commission sales job, there should be no limit on the amount of money you can make. There's no ceiling.
Like, how did you get into sales to begin with?
So kind of like you, I just didn't want to do I knew I had
a degree.
I knew I had the ability to go like start basically like a landscape business. Like I knew I could do that, but I didn't want to do that for like forever. Mm-hmm. And so I basically, when I got done with college, I sat down and I wrote down everything that I was good at. I wrote down like music. I wrote down alcohol. I wrote down bartending. I did. I wrote it down. I thought that, you know, I could be a song. Like I was just like, here's the things that interest me or I want to do. And it was like sports radio, like a bunch of stuff. And then the only thing that really made sense on there was sales.
Yeah.
Cause I had been in retail and then did restaurants and bartending in college. So like by the time
Which
I was
going. Which is kind of sales.
I mean, it's definitely sales in the aspect of building rapport.
Exactly.
Certain aspects of
yes.
it, they go well together. So when I got done with with college, I just needed to get out of that restaurant. And I was like, which one of these, you know, out of the things I wrote down is going to get me out of here? And it was sales. And then by the grace of God, really, I ended up at State Farm, you know.
So insurance right away.
I graduated on I don't remember. I definitely don't remember. But I graduated and then like a few days later, I had applied and I was like interviewing to get my insurance license and figure out, like I really went to the interview and I was like, man, he was just like taking apart his desk and like starting the building and starting the business. Like
brand new.
Yeah. But I told y'all before I'd found the job on Craigslist. So I went in there and I was like, dude, is this a real business?
Man, that's so cool.
So,
and I think that's fascinating that you've been in that basically industry since then. I mean, you do real estate now too, but insurance has always kind of been I guess you would call it the foundation of what you do.
Well, why wouldn't you get paid? Why wouldn't you get paid from the thing you're the best at?
Exactly. And it's a great industry. Like I love the insurance industry. That's what ultimately led me, because I didn't do the uniform thing very long because I learned one, how challenging it is. A lot of sales jobs paint like a really pretty picture, but then you realize that there's like 80% turnover. And he's like, oh, there's a reason they hired me with no experience.
A quick story. I had a guy that, this was while I was still in college. So I was just always hustling. Me and my friends, we would sell cars. We would buy them and say our uncle owned the car and we were selling it the next day because he didn't want it anymore or whatever. Like we would flip cars and then I would do scrap metal and whatever.
Anything.
Buy tickets. I worked at Academy Sports. I'd buy baseball bats that went on sale and sell them on eBay. Like, I mean, I would just try to hustle and make the money.
Yeah.
But at one point I found a guy that did merchant card services and it was called Omega Bank Card. And he was like, okay, basically what we do is we sell these machines that you scan at a restaurant when you get done and you pay. Mm-hmm. And he said that I could get paid. Every time somebody spent money on it, I would get paid. So I was like, oh, dude, I can't wait. Like, this is better than anything I've done or found. So I went out and I started like going into businesses and it probably took me 3 weeks at like 20 years old of getting rejected by businesses for me to say, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this right now.
Yeah.
Because the merchant, sir, I was 20. I did not know what to tell those people.
It's so tough, dude. Yeah. Sales is tough.
Sales can be.
That's how I felt with the uniform company, man. It got so tough that you would go in and they'd be like, you're the third one that's been in here today. Get out of here. Like, just like almost like scream at you before you even get your pitch out and you go back to the truck and you're like, yeah. But now you just tough skin.
That's the system you were using. And some people say that you can't be in sales if you're not whatever. I don't even know what type A and B are, but if you're not like a certain personality type. But dude, let me tell you, when I first got into phone sales or got into sales period, I had already talked to like 100,000 people. I don't know, thousands of people, but it was still scary and you can fight it. And if it's something that you know, you're getting uncomfortable doing it, maybe that's what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
Maybe you should stretch yourself there.
And to your point earlier, sales is everything. Like essentially we're always selling ourselves to other people. Like even when you're trying to find your wife, even when you're trying friends, that's essentially you're selling yourself. So I think sales has made me be aware. You have to really be aware to be a good salesman. You have to pick up on like people cues. You have to listen really well. We make all of our salesmen read a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that book, I try to read it every single year because I think it's one of the greatest sales books ever written. Because in order to really sell the way that I like to sell, I have to connect with that person and they have to trust me. That's the kind of relationship that I want. So that book helps me really get to that level of sale. I mean, has it helped you? I know we make everybody read
it. So many books have, man. But I've read How to Win Friends and Influence People probably 5 times. And I just love the basics of psychology. Like as humans, we're all this, if we can boil it down to science, like we're all psychologically, like we all don't like rejection. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be loved, you know, things of that nature. And you know, the slogan at the insurance agency is like, first we connect, then we protect. Ooh. You know what I mean? It rhymes. It makes it better. But connect and protect, because you got, at the end of the day, sales is literally all about relationships. You hear it all the time, but sales is relationships. Like if I had no relationships with anyone, or if I hadn't built the relationships I have, I wouldn't have as many referrals as I do. I wouldn't have as many business opportunities as I do. Brent and I, when we first were, when we first met, we just talked to each other at his house. If I would have never talked to Brent, I wouldn't have the businesses that we have together now. So just building relationships and connecting with people, you know, networking is something that is huge for sales, but it's also something that benefits every aspect of your life. Think for example, I networked into like several jobs. I've networked into, for me, when my friend passed away, I mentioned it last week, you know, I had a friend that I had networked with say like, why don't you read the Bible? If I hadn't networked with that specific friend, like where in my life would I pick that Bible up, you know? Mm-hmm. But luckily he said something, you know, and I networked. That's just another example of how when you talk to people and you connect, like, absolutely, you know, there's infinite potential to every relationship. Yeah.
And that's the cool thing, because we never want to be like, sometimes sales have a bad stigma, like the used car salesman.
The pushy
like
that's, guys.
We're like the opposite of that. And that's why I love real estate. So kind of keeping track with my story, I did the uniform thing for maybe 6 months. And I've shared on here before the opportunity when I had the chance. Basically, I was up at my buddy's parents' lake house and his brother was really successful in real estate. Long story short, he heard I was in sales and he's like, man, if you get your real estate license, I'd hire you. And this was in 2014. So it's almost been 10 years ago. I think August will be 10 years. Yeah, August. So it was probably about this time where I was like talking to him, getting ready. It might have been the 4th of July where me and Ryan, it might have literally been that. I don't know. But long story short, He basically says that, and dude, I get my license like that. I ended up quitting the uniform job before I even had the license because I was so committed to the studying.
Me too.
I just wanted to do it. So long story short, I went hard at real estate, and this was when real estate was still kind of, you know, on the fence. People were like, are you sure you want to get into real estate? Because we got hammered here in Georgia in 2008, 2009, and the housing market literally went to nothing. So many people filed bankruptcy. So I got in kind of early, but that really helped me because I became kind of the early guy in my age group to get into real estate. And then what's cool is sales really go well in, like, if you learn sales, you can kind of go into different industries.
Absolutely.
Because like Alex said earlier, it's really about building rapport, building relationships. And if you get good at that, you can take that into any industry, really.
Oh, absolutely. And if you put it on a resume, like, your skill set is going to stand out. I mean, when it comes to sales, like, we're talking about learning how to pivot in a conversation. Somebody's talking to you about this. You're ready to switch it to this. You pivot.
Yep.
And asking the right questions. I can't tell you how many times that I hear people, like, have a conversation and I can hear it. And I'm just like, man, if he would have asked him a question just then, he could have got the, you know, I can like analyze it now, but that's the stuff you start to understand, the different tones of voice people use. Somebody's,
oh yeah,
you know, sounding excited or something.
Even smiling.
Smiling.
Smiling while you're on the
phone. Yeah. That's Alex's. Smiling and dialing. You gotta smile right before you press the numbers. That way that you sound like you're in a good mood to talk to that person.
Yes.
Asking the right questions, picking up on tones. What else did I get? Identifying interest. Identifying interests. Like, think about, okay, you know how to talk to people now. You're really good. But if you talk for an hour to someone that doesn't really want to buy a house right now and you're a realtor, I'm not saying that won't turn up down the road, but you could have spent an hour calling other people about real estate.
Exactly.
Like, you can identify interests easier by asking these right questions. This is stuff we talk about all the time that, little do you know, it's actually sales.
Yes.
So do you have anything else that's like a skill set to pick up from on that?
Well, I think really sales have helped me in the real world. I know we talk about that a lot, but like, even learning social cues, picking up on that, it's helped me be a better husband. It's helped me be like, I think people underestimate the value of being a good salesman. And it's not that I manipulate people. It's just, it's easier to read people.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, a big part of sales is not talking.
Listening.
That's what I've learned. So many salesmen, like, and I hate when that happens to where somebody's so salesman-y that you don't even get to talk. The best salesmen that I deal with ask open-ended questions and shut up and then let you talk, and they just kind of steer the conversation. That's what we should really do with our friends, because so many times in life, we just run into people and talk about our lives for 5 minutes and then say, see you, bye, and didn't even ask them, like, how are they even doing?
Yeah.
So I think sales have even helped me with relationships in the real world.
Oh, absolutely. And listening, man, you said two things there, but listening, I can't even like begin to give you the importance. Like, if you ask the right question, but you don't listen to the person's answer, like, you're not going to get the information you need.
And how many times are people thinking about what they're going to say before they even hear what the other person says?
Yeah, that was me. I don't know if that's ADD or something, but that was me when I was like 18. Like, I couldn't even let somebody finish a thought, and then I would talk, and I was like, okay, I can talk to people, but now how do I learn to listen?
That's a big part of sales.
And then the other thing you hit on was the manipulation part. Like, sometimes it does get to the point where your knowledge has expanded past like what it's ever been before, and you know that if you say a certain thing, you can get this person to like say. But the key is to keep your heart right. I just want to say that. Like, there are people that I know in sales, and they know the same things I do, like when to ask a question or what tone to give this or that. And you really can get manipulative, and you can. But if your heart is in the right spot, I don't go around all day like manipulating people into giving me money for insurance. You know, we grow a bond, and then they you know, pay for the product.
Absolutely.
But, you know, sometimes you can get manipulative with that. That's all I want. I just want
Absolutely.
To leave it at that. The wrong person can do that.
And that's a great point to kind of transition into. Like, I think the reason that us and Rob have done well is because we really do try to take integrity into everything we do. I think that's
absolutely
a big part of being good at sales for a long period of time. So many people can get into sales and do really good, but then over time, people find out like their true colors. And I'm not saying we've never messed up. There's been times where we mess up. That's just inevitable if you do a lot of business. But what do you do when you mess up? Do you do everything in your power to make it right? Or do you like block their number and just like hope they don't get an attorney involved? Because there's a lot of people that do that. And what my point is that you literally have to, if we put our name on it, we try to do the best that we can, and we do it as if it's ours. Yeah. I think that's what separates us. Like, our insurance policies are written the way we would want them to be written. The houses that we flip, we literally, if it needs to be fixed, we really try to fix it and do it the right way. And I think that's really helped. And that's what Alex brought a lot to that, to the table when we joined with insurance, is because me and Rob knew that we could sell insurance, but we wanted to make sure we were doing the policies right. So having that knowledge helped a lot. That's another pivot with the sales. You have to know your product. It's so important that you know the product that you're selling, or ultimately you're going to get called out. So when me and Rob joined with Alex, he brought that insurance knowledge to the table. So talk a little bit about that, Alex, and how important, and especially insurance, it is to know what you're talking about, but even just in sales in general.
Oh yeah, man. Because basically as a salesman, you are a problem solver. Okay, so first off, we got to hear what the client's problem is. And that's the point. If you never stop talking, you can't hear what the problem is that you're solving.
Yeah.
So once you identify the problem and you set up the solution for it, you know, in our business, it's I want to sell my house because I have an extra kid, or I need to save some money on my insurance. Those are like some two very common things that happen to us. Once you identify the problem, now you go about the best way solving it. So going back to the honesty perspective, man, I have mentor. My father-in-law is a great mentor of mine, but there's also other mentors that have been successful at business. It's cool when you're successful at business, but if you can't hang out for like more than 3 years, like you're not, I don't really care about it.
Yeah, if you've been doing it for 30 years though.
Now, 30, 40 years. Now I'm like, how did you do it? Because now we're sitting here at year four and I'm like, okay, those 4 years were crazy. How do you do 40 of those?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the honesty part, it's so important to be honest, because your reputation is on the line all the time with sales. Like when we do a remodel of a home, if the floors caved in the next week, like we would get sued.
And we would fix it.
We would fix it, but we could potentially get sued. So not only is there the part on you that's literally like the financial part, and that's what you, in insurance, we have insurance set up where if one of our employees messes up the policy, we have insurance to back up their mistake. Yeah. We don't always get that in our day-to-day lives. Like, so if you're selling a product, it's important to be honest, because not only do you put your own self at risk for financial stuff, but also if you don't have a good reputation with your clients, if you don't take care of these people, you're not going to get any more business.
Exactly.
Your business is going to go under.
That's exactly right.
You can't just expect to be unintegrable with people and then to keep calling you.
That's right.
At all.
And I think too, the guys that you see in business for how long, Tim? 40 years almost? 42 years. I think of Corey Davis in downtown Dallas. It's been Quality Carpets. I've been there forever. All those guys, some of the guys that we've interviewed, you look at the guys that have been doing it for a long time, and 99% of the time, they're like good dudes who do what they say they're going to do. And that's who people want to do business with. So if you really want to be a good salesman, I think that's the most important part.
Start.
That is one of the most important parts. And this is kind of my last thought and like wrapping up my sales thought, because I could talk sales all day long, like literally.
And we might do it again.
We can do it more.
Why not?
If you like this content, we can, because we do this with our guys all the time. But those two guys we just mentioned, Corey Davis and Tim, your father-in-law, man, they love Jesus. And I think that's so cool because we really try to keep Jesus in the center of our business, and it's helped us, you know, keep that integrity intact. So this is my sales pitch for Jesus, I guess I could say. It's like having Jesus in your life, man, it really helps you in every area of your life. And it really does help you in sales, because man, it's like, if your heart's right, that's what Alex said. A lot of times people are like, yeah, we're a Christian business, but like, I don't really advertise that we're a Christian business. It's just like, if your heart's right, you're going to take care of your clients. And that's attractive to people. People want to be taken care of. People don't want to be taken advantage of. People don't want to be lied to. So having, you know, those examples of Tim and these other business owners that we've interviewed that had Jesus in their life, I just look up to them so much, because I see why they have the longevity that they do, because the Christian morals do really well in the business world, especially in the world that we live in where people don't do what they say they're going to do. So I just think it's really cool. And God has blessed us so much, keeping him at the center. We fail every day, but keeping him at the center is the only reason that we're still in business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And to attest to that, man, there's so many times, especially when you get in a business partnership, where your ego and pride want to flare up. And with the right morals, you don't ever go to your customers and cuss them out, or, you know, go home and do this and that. Like, it basically just, it stays consistent. It gives you something bigger than you to focus on, that there in turn gives you more success, because you don't have to be so, you know, stressed, and you can become one with whatever you got going on. Another thing I want to say, going back to the honesty part and how, you know, we try to really care about our customers from an employer standpoint, it's also extremely attractive when a person cares about their client. When it's, you know, when John has a problem and this employee really wants to fix John's problem, as the person that writes the paychecks, I'm more in love with your work ethic. I'm more in love with who you are as a person. Basically, you're exactly who I want in our business. And, you know, it just gives me a confidence that says, hey, I can trust these guys. I can leave them here to handle this or to do this. And, you know, they're going to care. They're going to take care of it just the way I would maybe want to get it taken care of. Or maybe if it was my wife, how I'd want her taken care of. So if you got anything on sales, you know, leave us a comment. We're going to keep talking about it, but sales can change your life and sales is everything. Thanks, guys.